Discussion keeps the world turning.
This is Round Table.
Hello, welcome to Round Table, where we serve up piping hot debates on the issues that sizzle in China and beyond. I'm Niu Honglin. Coming up, in an age where digital convenience reigns supreme, the quiet book-linked halls of university libraries face a new challenge, the noticeable decline in physical book borrowing among students. Recently, some universities in China are trying to tackle this challenge with some innovative measures. For today's show, I'm joined by Li Yi in the studio and Josh Cotterell on the line. Now grab your virtual compass and follow us to the heart of the discussion. Recall the tranquil hours spent among the stacks in a university library, where the passage of time seemed to halt amid the rustling pages of books. In an era increasingly dominated by screens, the once crowded aisles of university libraries stand at a pivotal crossroads, navigating the swift currents of digital transformation and evolving student inclinations. This shift prompts a vital question. As physical books slowly yield to the convenience of digital formats, can the timeless allure of a university library's printed collection continue to enchant the next generation of scholars? I have a habit of asking, is it so, before asking, why is it? So, yes, there is this discussion of, here's a decline in physical book reading among the younger generation, but do we really have facts and figures proving that this phenomenon really exists?
I'm afraid so, because when we look at some figures from several university libraries here in China, it seems that it really proves this conclusion, which means that there is a decline of physical book reading or lending among younger generations, especially in colleges. I mean, first of all, let's look at a report on university libraries in China's Jiangsu province. It really shows that the average borrowing volume of physical books per library decreased from 98,200 volumes in 2017 to 35,800 volumes in 2022. And then the library lending of Hunan University has really dropped by over 50%, from 530,000 volumes in 2019 to 260,000 volumes in 2022. And also other universities such as Sun Yat-sen University, Kunming Medical University, and Southwest University of Science and Technology have also witnessed the same trend, which suggesting their young people actually are no more lending physical books from libraries. Well, personally, I don't really think this really suggests the book culture is dying among young people, because some people are really saying this. Yet I think this really tells a shift of reading habit among younger generations, because while we observe the borrowing volume of physical books has been decreasing, actually the lending of electronic books has been rapidly increasing, because the same situation here in Hunan University, actually the download volume of digital reading resources was about 9 million times in 2021, and that number increased to over 23 million times in 2022. And also a 2022 survey on university reading released by the Zhejiang Federation of Social Sciences also shows that the per capita reading volume of physical books for university students in Zhejiang province is nearly 8.5 books on a yearly basis, while that number of electronic books is 13.5 books. So you see, that's basically the situation about reading and the physical reading and also electronic reading among young people nowadays.
Josh, do you observe similar trends in the UK or in Europe in general, that more people compared to physical books would opt for digital format or basically just browsing online? Any kind of this trend happening there as well?
Yeah, well, I think it's actually quite hard to get really accurate statistics on this, on how people are gathering their information, but definitely there's some similar trends that I've found. There's definitely a decline in physical book reading in the UK, also in the US and in Europe. Actually, I found a study by the National Literary Trust in the United Kingdom that found that only 25% of young people read daily outside of class. And this is quite a significant drop from previous generations. And also, I think that when it comes to this sort of physical book versus digital resources, I think that definitely students are, and just education in general, it's not, I mean, I feel like we're putting all the blame on the students, but it's actually the curriculum as well and how schools and universities operate, right? A lot of the time now, we see that they're using computers, they're even using tablets in class and things like this. So it's that it's not really that the students are choosing or not, it's just that their access level. So I'd just like to make that point. But also I think that physical books versus digital resources, I think that digital resources are definitely starting to gain a lot more prominence because of their convenience and things like this. Obviously, libraries, however big or small they are, they take up a lot of space. Books take up a lot of space, you know, in schools. And so, I mean, personally, I think that it's worth it. We can talk about that later, but I can understand why. But yeah, so a lot of schools are opting for digital options because it also allows them. Another thing that you have to remember is that, I mean, if we're talking about universities, there's two very different types of books, I think. Well, two general things. There's a sort of archive book, right? Something that you would refer to maybe from the past. And then there's a book that needs to be updated, right? So there's like, maybe if you're studying something like medicine, usually every year there may be a new book. Or if you study something like law, law is constantly being updated. So you need the next volume. If this is all digitized, you don't need to buy a new book, right? It doesn't need to go out of print. You just simply update it. So for this reason as well, in certain academic disciplines, digital is becoming the option, which makes a lot of sense when it comes to, you know, saving the trees, I guess.
That is a good point, actually. And I think you're right. When it comes to different types of books, it depends on, let's say, the main purpose of the reading. For leisure reading, you don't really need, actually, you don't even want a physical book, yeah, because it's hard to carry around. Yes. If you can store it in your phone or in any kind of e-reader, it's actually easier. For me personally, for the kind of entertainment reading that I would not, normally would not revisit, I would prefer a digital format for sure. But for some students who would like to keep some notes on their notebook, who would like to actually read the book, not only for the purpose of entertainment reading in leisure time, but also would like to, you know, in a way study, even if it's not their major, even if it's not in their curriculum, they would like to borrow a book. And apparently they are meeting problems when they actually are trying to borrow the book from the library.
Yeah, actually, you know, when talking about this reading shift among younger generations, I think, of course, the reading habits of these young people, of course, need to be taken into consideration. However, I think the supply side of libraries in those universities is also a very important factor, because me personally, actually, I went to my college just a few months before, and actually, you know, the library in my college did make a fuss when it was built like 10 years ago, because because the gate of that library somehow shows like dozens of foreign languages of hello, you know, so which is really quite attractive. But the thing is that in the year, at very first beginning, when we had this very comprehensive library in our college, we were all excited. And I think we just went to college almost every day, either to borrow books or simple like study or read somehow, even if you don't really read books borrowed from this library.
Enjoy the atmosphere.
Yes, enjoy
the
atmosphere. Yes, exactly. And I still remember that one seat in the library was still very difficult to secure. You have to really get to the library as early as you can. But the thing is that at that time, I think people still go to library. But then this time, when I went back to the library, I surprisingly find out that those books on the shelves are still the same books when I was in the college. So thinking about, they don't really update the inventory of those books as frequently as possible. So which might also, you know, cause concerns from young people, because we do see some reports saying that people are complaining about those books are not updated anymore, which they find less convenient, especially when those libraries in campuses are actually accessed to electronic resources, meaning that you can really get the book you want like within seconds when you are looking for those electronic alternatives. So in that case, why young people still opt for physical books?
I think it has something to do with the relatively long procedure of selecting new books and purchasing them, deciding whether or not you're going to go physical or digital and how many copies you're going to put. And for a lot of schools, universities here in China, they have different campuses in different areas. Some of them are quite close to each other, but some of them can be super far from each other, which means if you have only one copy of this book that
you have to wait.
Yes, yeah. Wait for it, transport from one campus to another. And that is not because the university cannot afford to buy two copies. It's more because after consideration, they would consider this specific book to be less likely to be borrowed. So there are a lot of factors for universities as well. And that is why a lot of universities nowadays in China are trying to initiate certain campaigns, figure out certain activities to attract students to borrow books from their libraries. Because even if we're saying that students are not borrowing physical books from libraries, we're not saying the libraries are not busy. Libraries are very busy in universities. Students would book or make a reservation for a spot, like Li Yi has just said. They'd like to study in universities, but it's really not economical for universities.
Yeah, and meantime, you know, when we're discussing like the difference between reading physical books and electronic books, because Josh previously mentioned, it is because people are increasingly using like tablets or digital devices nowadays, and also digital textbooks. But personally, I think sometimes it's not only about the information you acquired from those books, either is physical or electronic. Sometimes it's also about the way you require information. Because I still remember when I was in college, our professors would just suggest us to use physical dictionary rather than electronic dictionary. Because during that process, it's not only involved like you look up or pick up that word or phrase you want to learn, it's also about how you understand the information, how you process the information. And then when you are reading like physical books or physical textbooks, chances are you are more likely to involve critical thinking and self-reflection, and then you may get more insights from that process. So I'm not really sure. Do you agree with that?
I feel like this generation of young people might not agree with that completely. They have their very own way of studying, and they have this very efficient way to use their tablet and then use their computer and then combine them together with some magical software and artificial intelligence assisted softwares to put on notes, either with their own handwriting or some handwriting downloaded from up there in the air, and making their notes very easy on the eyes, and in the meantime, very efficient. But again, it's their choices, and I think it's okay. But in the meantime, many people complain that with the development of technology, more and more, for example, short videos would say, I'm introducing the book in 5 minutes. You do not have to read it anymore. You can just watch my video in 5 minutes. 5 minutes is long in short video world. They would give you like 2 minutes for a book. So Josh, do you see this kind of effect on young people actually decreasing their interest as well as their ability to focus on something that requires time, requires patience, and requires active thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that short video platforms, I mean, I guess it's a little bit too soon to say, because they haven't really been in existence for more than 10 years. And I mean, probably have, and I mean, maybe not even that long when it comes to the most prominent short video platforms, right? So I think that, but we will soon enough find out, but I guess that maybe in sort of 30 years or so, I mean, God knows what we'll all be like then, but I think that it has had a really damaging effect, and it will have a damaging effect, because processing, you just cannot retain information that way. I think that this is where, and although I've spoken about, you know, the benefits of digital books and things like this, I personally think that real books and libraries are the best way for one to retain information and to study. I think that one of the main issues with these short videos condensing these books into 5 minutes It just allows you to, I mean, you can be so easily distracted. And I think that this is a product of that distraction. It's a product of our declining ability to maintain attention on something. So I think that it definitely does not compare to reading a physical book. I mean, I'd also like to say that when we talk about digital things, we also have to remember that the devices that we're reading on, they haven't been built for reading. They're not there for that. They're built as communication devices. That's what they are ultimately. They're there to allow you to communicate with other people, i.e. become distracted. When you're trying to gain knowledge in something, you're not supposed to communicate with anybody. You're supposed to focus on one singular thing, right? And that's what a book allows you to do. Moreover, that's what a library allows you to do. That whole physical space where everybody there is focusing on one thing. That's becoming increasingly difficult in today's world, I think.
That is a really good point. Actually, you're giving me ideas. I think libraries should cut off Wi-Fi connection
really
for good. And you're not allowed to communicate with people. You can only concentrate on reading or on studying. And the moment you step outside of the library, your phone would continue to ring multiple times because people cannot get track on you. Okay,
are you serious?
No, library were a prison. It's not a suggestion. It's just me getting a little extreme.
A lot of libraries are kind of like that. There are actually quite a lot of libraries that do operate with a system not exactly like you said. I guess that probably just cutting off Wi-Fi or having some sort of signal blocker would probably be considered inhumane these days, right? But I know that, for example, in the British Library in the United Kingdom, which is one of the biggest libraries in the world, and actually, it has over 200 million items, if you can believe that, including books, manuscripts, maps, and everything. Now, this is not affiliated with a single university, but if you study in London like I did, you will be sent there probably to go and find something on behalf of the university. Anyway, when you go in there, it is absolute silence, as you can imagine. And you can use your phone, but it must be on silent. And if it rings or anything like that, you can be removed from the library. You're not even allowed to take in, you have to go in with a plastic bag, I think, and you're not allowed to take in, maybe it's like ink pens or something like this. Maybe you're only allowed a pencil or something like that. It's very, very strict. And actually, I got so much work done there. I really did. So it does work. And you can always go outside to call somebody, you know?
Can I just offer one more argument on that? Because, you know, when I was preparing for this show, I just saw a very interesting argument about, you know, because usually we would just put deep reading and electronic devices as opposite sides. We always think that as long as like internet, Wi-Fi, mobile phone, tablets are getting involved, then the process might not really be that serious. But then some people are really arguing that isn't that really an outdated perception of learning knowledge? Because traditionally we think like reading and learning knowledge should really be lasting for a long time in series and silent. You have to, you know, really make yourself concentrated 100%. But then with all those like knowledge sharing, short videos and live streamings and all those new devices, new products, people are really arguing that maybe we can also learn this message in a quick and fun way.
You mean secondhand way?
Maybe. That's just the one argument, like one perspective to think about this issue. But I do understand that with the increasing usage of digital devices and especially social media, short videos, I think people are really having shorter attention span within the past few decades. And that has already been proved by like numerous researchers and studies, which is not really so helpful, especially when you're looking for some deeper critical thinking process.
So on top of this relatively extreme way of blocking signals in university libraries, what are some strategies that university libraries are actually taking to improve people's interest in physical books or just in books in general and give them more opportunities to develop or to explore the new brand new genre of readings that they do not know that they're super into yet?
I think one example is that those libraries in universities and colleges here in China, they're really trying to upgrade the way they buy books. For example, they can really involve more people, as in real readers in the whole process. They can really say, maybe you launch an online survey and to question what books people really want to read about before they really purchase and make some budget before they actually do the purchasing. So that could be really a helpful way, because I think that also shows how libraries are shifting their service models. Because before, they maybe think that they are only the organizations that offer books, but now they're really transforming themselves as a service organization to offer reading services to readers. And also we see some innovative projects from those universities here in China. For example, in Hunan University, its library really launches a service called 新书闪介. Basically, it means that you can really choose some new books you want to read and borrow, and you can file your applicants to the library, to the campuses, and the fees can be covered by the libraries, and the readers can really read the new books and just return this new book within 30 days they borrowed it. And the similar services have also been launched by Henan University and Southeastern universities here in China. So that's how campuses are really making efforts.
Yeah, there's also quite a lot of similar strategies being used in my own country. And I think that in the UK as well, one thing that a lot of universities are able to do, because there's a lot of very old universities in the UK, and I guess that they can use that to their advantage, but a lot of them are sort of semi-open to the public and things like this. So they also offer a sort of tourism destination. I think one of the most obvious ones, which is just one university, I guess, but is like Oxford, of course. People just go there just to visit it, right? And, you know, as a tourist. But this also helps to sustain industry there and around the library and things like this. There's other universities like Cambridge University Library as well, and the University of Manchester as well. Often the library is sort of like the center point. So they're able to do activities there, maybe have classes there after university hours for adult students. You know, you can do sort of extra learning. There's loads of language courses in the United Kingdom. So most universities, and there'll be one obviously somewhere close to you, will offer language courses maybe in the evenings and things like this. And they're not always in the libraries, but they might be in the surrounding building, often in the library as well. So there are a lot of ways to keep them going, I think. But they're definitely struggling, though, I would say that.
Yes, and we see that here in China, in certain universities, school operators realize that when you give a lecture in a relatively niche area for students to understand the basics in this area or in this subject, there would be a spike in the borrowing of books related to this subject. So they started to offer different speeches, different summits on different types of subjects. And in the meantime, you know how young people are like these days. It's the digital age. Social media is a very important thing. So they initiated these activities for people to have their very own annual reports released by the university libraries. They will tell you how many books you borrowed from the library, what are the books that, or what are the areas that you focus more on, and how long have you been reading, something like that. And you can start posting it in your social media platforms. You can compare with other students. By saying compare, I mean compete, and that actually helps. And the library at Guangdong University of Foreign Studies employs a 4C reading promotion strategy, that is 4C, classics, culture, communication, and company, inviting renowned domestic and international figures to interpret classic literature from around the world and focusing on promotional themes and interactions. And students can actually attend activities such as poetry reading, trying on traditional Chinese dresses and costumes, and even observing intangible cultural heritage skills related to the subject that you're interested in and you're reading currently. And we know all these services and activities are not just to boost students or people's interest in reading, but also to provide personalized recommendations and cultural experiences. Hopefully, it will enrich the campus cultural life for everyone.